I come from a place, central Kansas, where agriculture is still the way of life for a great many people. A very large percent of the kids I taught in my 6 years of teaching there were from farming families, and it's extremely possible, perhaps even likely, that many of them have gone into farming as well. Honestly, I'd like to tell you that I come from a farming family, because from what I saw of my farming friends, it struck me as a lifestyle that has a lot of appeal to it. But alas, Dad's side of the family has no farming in its history, and while my mom grew up on a farm, by her own admission, she couldn't get off it soon enough. And farming isn't really the kind of thing that you wake up one day and decide that you're going to do. So I was left to enjoy it on a limited basis, assisting friends on their farms as needed. Perhaps it's just as well. I really love Alaska, and it's not the most farming-friendly place, though in some specific places people make it work. No, Alaska is much more representative of the hunting and gathering that came before agriculture. And right now is a fabulous time to be doing some of that gathering. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. The gathering I'm referring to is the abundance of berries our state has. While I'm sure there are other places on the planet that have more, Alaska is the berriest place I've ever lived. Maybe that's not saying a whole lot with my background being central Kansas. Still, berries of all sorts blanket a large part of our state, and more than a few people get excited about stocking up each summer and fall. In the interest of full disclosure, I feel compelled to mention that I'm in the very small minority. I'm not a berry person. In fact, I'm not much for plants of any sort, but that's another story entirely. The idea to do an episode on berries was suggested to me by a friend, and I would agree that the time is ripe for this topic. I do remember moving to Non-Dalton in the early 90s and being amazed that there could be so many berries seemingly everywhere I looked. I had never seen anything like it, and it had never occurred to me that so many edible things, even if not something I'd choose to eat, could be in one place and simply there for the taking. My dog Tacona developed a taste for berries, though, and they seemed to always keep him busy picking during our outings. Before starting in on berries, I did want to mention that if you plan to eat any of Alaska's plants, and you're like me and not altogether familiar with what's what, it's not a bad idea to have a decent reference book handy. A great deal of what grows in our state is edible. However, there are a few things out there that it's not a very good idea to consume. A good book can help you out that way. I have one I really like a lot you may be familiar with that I use as a part of camps and presentations to kids. It's called Alaska's Wild Plants by Janice Schofield. There is nothing not to like about this book. It's fairly small, making it easy to pack along, inexpensive, has great color photos, and I really like the layout of how she presents each type of plant. If you're new to the state and the idea of supplementing your menu with wild plants from around the area appeals to you, I highly recommend this book, Food for Thought on Food for the Table. While I don't berry pick, I do have a wife and two daughters who do. I will say it's an amazing activity on several levels. First, you have the benefit of both immediate and delayed gratification. You can be eating berries as you go, while knowing that what you're picking can be put in the freezer to be enjoyed many times over in the future. For many people, berry picking can be a wonderful social event as well, a chance to spend time outdoors with friends or family and make memories while adding to the family larder. For some folks, it's something of an addictive activity, kind of in the same ways that crocheting and knitting are, but outdoors rather than indoors. It's also an activity that requires patience, a quality that can be elusive, particularly for kids. Even so, I have often seen kids who otherwise can't stay focused for more than a few minutes pass entire hours methodically moving about from berry bush to berry bush. So for a whole host of reasons, berry picking is a very good outdoor activity to participate in. In fact, the only downside I can see is that sometimes it can be a very buggy activity, depending on how strong the wind is blowing, so you have to be prepared to deal with that. It's not just the here and now, either. Berries have made up a very large part of that gathering part of the hunting and gathering for as long as people have been gathering. They have been a huge part of the native diet for centuries and continue in that capacity today. Depending on location and type of berry, the picking of berries starts up in the very early parts of summer and continues through mid to late fall. And with nearly 50 types of berries found in our state, most of them listing in the edible category, and the abundance with which many are found, it's no wonder they're as popular as they are. So what's your favorite type of berry? That's not an argument that's going to get settled on this program. Still, there are several that most folks talk about more than others. Some of that may simply be abundance or ease of availability, though there's likely some degree of personal taste preference involved as well. To my untrained eye, it seems like blueberries are often the most abundant, or maybe they're just found in the places I tend to go for whatever activity I happen to be doing. Ripe blueberries are sweet in taste and are a terrific source of a lot of good stuff for your body, including vitamin C, niacin, manganese, carbohydrates, and dietary fiber. They also have very little in the way of bad stuff, such as sodium and fat, which makes a compelling argument for why I should be eating them, even though I don't. From what I understand from those who favor them and pick a lot, we're just now coming up on the best time to be picking blueberries around our area, and they taste best right before they're ready to fall. During last week's refuge float camp, the kids spent about an hour picking mostly blueberries one evening, and many of those picked wound up in the next morning's pancakes. Next up, in what I seem to hear mentioned a lot around here, are what people around Bristol Bay call salmon berries, though the actual name is cloudberries. For the sake of this episode, I'll stick with salmon berries, because, when in Rome, salmon berries aren't quite as abundant as some of the other berry types, but they're still fairly common around the area. The kids at camp last week picked a few from the same meadow where they picked blueberries. These berries are certainly easy to recognize. The fruit is a cluster that's yellowish-orange in color and very low to the ground. While I don't eat berries, I know salmon berries are highly thought of and a bit harder to come by. Need any proof? Take a look at what they sell for around area villages. I do not in any way begrudge folks the prices that they charge. There's a lot of work that goes into picking that many berries. But the prices tell me that there's a market to support them, so clearly people are very fond of salmon berries. Highbush cranberries are another, though it seems to me I most often hear about these berries in conjunction with baked goods. And that's a point to probably make, is that not all berries are five-star material straight from the vine. Timing of harvest is important with regards to taste, but some berry types come into their palatable best through use in other things, like pies, muffins, and jellies. For some folks, that's the case for highbush cranberries and another common berry from around the area, crowberries. An interesting note about crowberries is that they are uber high in vitamin C, to the tune of twice that of blueberries. Sounds to me like a good berry to be popping to stave off illness, whereas some people take vitamin C supplements. Before closing today, I wanted to give a shout out to a bunch of people. Last week was the annual Refuge Float Camp, though this year's camp did a lot less floating than prior float camps I have been a part of. Why, you ask? Because we got weathered out, hard as that is to believe. Our original destination was the Middle Fork of the Good News River. Our fallback spot was the Ungavinic River. Neither of those spots panned out, due to not being able to fly because of rain and high winds. As a result, we wound up on Oxtecock Lake, up to the north and east of Alecnagik. It was not a river, so we didn't float near as much as was planned, but in every other way, it was a really great camp. The kids were top-notch. They may have been the funnest group I've ever shared a camp with, and they kept a great outlook despite the often brutal weather. In the end, we were able to do pretty much everything else we normally do on the float trip, except float, though there was some of that on the lake. Again, this year's students were outstanding. Those individuals were Connor Ito, Mariah Dre and Tristan Cheney of Dillingham, Moses Bright of Good News Bay, and Diana Tickian of Quinnahawk. You could not do better than those kids to share a camp with, always eager and smiling and laughing and helpful. I'd also like to thank Debbie Ricewig and Alan Miller, two of my colleagues here at the Refuge, and both Debbie and Cheryl O'Connell for putting up with all the paperwork hassle of all the changes relating to travel. And if any of the kids who attended this year's camp are listening, this year's camp was terrific. but it wasn't great. Sorry, inside joke there. Ask me if you see me, and I'll happily explain. One last note on the berries and gathering. Be safe while you're out there. In the case of berry picking, that mostly means to dress for the bugs, mind what you pick, and watch for the bears. They like berries too, you know. For myself, a declared non-berry eater, well, I've got this fall's hunting seasons to look forward to. I'll leave the gathering to the rest of you. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake, provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.